Geek Tank is endorsed by the Norman Bates Hotel Association.
Troy.
And this is Geek Tank on the Go.
Your man purse size commuter cast.
I like my man purse.
You know, you and I both have a love of bags.
I do. I carry way too many pencils, pens, and kind of stuff like that.
I think I have 30 or 40 different variations of backpacks and messenger bags and man purses.
Man purses, which I just call purses because there's really nothing wrong with having a purse.
A human saddlebag.
Yeah. Ooh, human saddlebag.
Which sounds like an insult. Hey, yeah, you human saddlebag.
Anyway.
So, we're talking about, I guess over the weekend, we saw a few things and we're like, we should do that as a topic.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of our ongoing topics of things, but we've come up with some other very interesting variations of this topic. But we've got a lot of interesting discussions about how women are being handled in media.
Right, and the misogyny that kind of falls into that, and this kind of the mansplaining of things.
Yeah, so can you tell me what mansplaining
is? Can you explain mansplaining? I believe I can. It is when typically a male, is attempting to explain something to a female in a very patronizing way. And usually it's information that is either incorrect or over-explained or something that she already knows, and they're explaining it to her like she doesn't know that information.
Can you mansplain mansplaining?
I think a good way would be the Urban Dictionary has a really good example I'd like to use there. So you would have a woman who would say something such as, women only make 77% of what men make for exactly the same work. And then the man responds with a mansplaining answer of, no, they don't. That statistic is just for over median pay of full-time workers and does not account for overtime hours worked, location experience, degree earned, or even the field someone is working in. Women make less on average because men and women make different career choices. Because, believe it or not, men and women are different. See, that is very patronizing and incorrect. And
like the believe it or not part.
Yes. And the
specifically.
And the trying to fixate on a detail of a fact to say they're incorrect, even though it really doesn't resolve the problem, or the man is wrong.
it's just wrong.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know if it's because, I'm assuming different people mansplain for different reasons, but I'm going to guess some people do it because that's just, they don't know better.
Yeah. Well, and you'll hear it in the media. You know, you'll hear this chatter.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that's not really the problem. The problem is blah 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 blah. And you know, you look at that and you're like, well, because I mean, that's part of that whole denial thing that I've seen elsewhere too.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Where it's I deny your facts and figures by saying, well, the facts and figures are distorted.
Right. The person who got those are wrong.
Yeah. Or they were biased, or whatever, when you can clearly see the results in society that come from this thing. And, you know, my mom had to work extra hard to do the same thing that her male counterparts did. It was obvious. It was clear. Mm-hmm. I didn't need facts and figures to see that.
Well, my mom.
Your mom.
Was studying to be a paralegal. And I remember as a kid saying, why aren't you studying to be a lawyer? And it's kind of because the mindset was females get to be the paralegals to the males that are the lawyers.
Right. Well, I just found out that the Ivy League colleges, you know, Yale and all of the ones who... Yale! They didn't accept women at all until 1977. And their reasoning behind it was they would have had to have lowered their standards. And that was an acceptable excuse.
Ugh.
I was reading that and I'm like, what? So, speaking
of. And these are supposed to be the smart people.
I know, these are supposed to be your intelligent people.
So, hopefully, us, you know, raising a new generation, we're doing our part
to stop
this. And because I think a big part of it for people, too, is their dads.
Their dad
had this attitude. And so they passed on this behavior through kind of brainwashing, if you will. Yeah. You know, that's all they've seen. So that's how they think things are supposed to be.
Well, and I was thinking about this the other night, too. It's weird how deeply ingrained this misogyny is in our system, culture. I catch myself doing it, and I consider myself very much not a misogynist.
Right.
But I'll catch myself every so often just randomly saying something, and I'm like, wow, that's remarkably nasty sounding. And I'm like, and I don't catch it until about, you know, 30 seconds after I've said it.
Right.
And so then I'm like, well, that's just rude. I'm sorry. And I have to, like, back out of that. Or, you know, all these little things, these little pieces of our society that we do where we, you know, we shut women down more than we shut men down. And, you know, like little things that we don't realize is part of our culture.
Yeah. Well, even the whole, this is the boys' section of toys, this is the girls' section of toys.
Little things like that. I hate that.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, personally, I love the Friends set from Legos. Those things are rock. I wish the Lego Friends were a little bit smaller so that they'd fit with the minifigs. But
well, I've got a couple of the Nerf Rebel guns that were supposedly designed for females, but I thought they were kind of cool. And I kind of like the shooting kids who think that it's a girl's gun and them getting killed or, you know, taken out with a Nerf gun that is for females.
Yeah.
It hopefully that extra humiliation that they feel gets them over that humiliation and realize it shouldn't be there in the first place.
Yeah, but
it
shouldn't be there in the first place. I saw a beautiful bow at an archery store, and it was purple. And I'm like, that's the bow I'm going to get. And I was realizing they did that to attract women. And I'm like, but that doesn't make any sense. It's a pretty color.
Well, purple's a royal color.
Yeah, it is. It was a beautiful bow, too.
And if you shoot somebody and cause them pain, it'd be purple pain, which would be what you'd have to name the bow.
I would have to call it purple pain.
So this all came about for a couple of reasons. We saw a few things over the weekend, and one of them was it's dated. It was from 2014 when Avengers Age of Ultron came out. Scarlett Johansson was asked a really stupid question.
She really was, too.
I guess we should put as a headliner for this topic. This is the Geek Tank episode where we talk about Scarlett Johansson's underwear.
Yeah, that's what we should do.
Yeah.
But here, why don't we just play the quote for you right here?
Yes, please, because I don't want to repeat it.
Yeah.
Now, were you able to wear undergarments?
You're the fifth person that's asking.
Well, no, because
what is going on? Since when did people start asking each other about in interviews about their underwear?
No, because it is such a skin tight.
I'll leave it up to your imagination.
Oh, see, okay? is
that whatever you feel like I should be wearing or not wearing under that costume?
This is not is it inappropriate
to ask somebody what kind of underpants they wear?
I didn't ask you what kind.
You just asked me if I was wearing any.
Could you?
No, what do you wear
could
underneath?
You? What do you wear underneath that? Something
overalls,
like that? Do you wear clothes?
You wear dungarees. You can't wear clothes under it. It's like a wetsuit.
Okay.
Practically.
All right. So you answered my question.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit more than a wetsuit. Was I wearing underwear? I mean, gosh. Ask Joss.
Okay, so...
Yeah, five times in a single day, asked that same question. And it could have been more, because I imagine she probably just at a certain point tries to block it out.
And what's so funny is, we were talking about this on Facebook, and one of my friends said, what are we talking about with Scarlett Johansson's underwear? So I went ahead and I Googled it, and I noticed that the first, like, four or five hits were news reports on her going commando in the show and blah, 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 blah. And they were talking all about her underwear or lack therein. And I'm sitting there going, what? Before I even got to the interview where she finally said, look, seriously, my underwear? You know.
Right. It's such a bizarre question to me because I've seen the movie a few times. That never occurred to me. And like you said, now it's going to occur to you every time you see it.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, not only that, now I'm going to be like looking at her underwear every time I'm watching
the
movie.
The invisible. Like, it's like Wonder Woman's airplane.
It's like Wonder Woman's, it's the invisible underwear.
It doesn't matter. and I. It,
are you saying the Wonder Woman's airplane doesn't
her
matter?
Her airplane doesn't matter.
Have you seen Man? Or Man? Yeah, we did. We went and saw Man of Steel together. Yeah, Batman versus Superman.
Yeah,
and you're right. She just flies through the air. Clearly, her airplane does not matter.
Does not matter. but it's I just, you know, we could call ourselves journalists. We are a media team, technically.
Technically.
And I'm thinking there's so many questions I would love to ask her. None of them are
involve
about
her underwear. Or what makeup she was wearing. Or how long her hair was taking.
Or what did you eat to prepare for the film?
Yeah, what did you eat? Did you have to lose weight to prepare for
the
film?
I'd be curious, as an actor, what kind of mental training did you do to get into that mindset of an assassin? What do you do for that kind of thing? And is there a point that you take it too far, like with the preparing, kind of like Heath Ledger did with the Joker?
Yeah.
That? And there's just so many. She's an actress. Or as I prefer to call everybody actors. I think it's silly to have gender.
Yeah, there's no reason to have gender. There are a lot of things I would ask her that have nothing to do with her underwear.
Right. Maybe she'll give Geek Tank an interview.
Hey, if you're out there, Scarlett Johansson, we would love to interview you if you're ever in Denver. Just give us a holler.
Yes, I'm sure that'll happen.
Yeah, that always happens.
But in any case, I remember before you're in 2014, some fan at a convention, she was on a panel with the other actors from Avengers, and some fan in the audience had asked her that question, like, did you wear underwear under that? And I remember thinking, well, that's a fanboy and they're stupid.
Yeah.
And he could have been all kinds of things. Maybe he was just an idiot, or it could have been he was having starstruck and just asked the first stupid question that popped in his mind. But when a journalist, because this was on like Extra, I think it was that guy,
he looked pretty abashed when she rebutted that, and rightfully so.
Well,
on both counts,
I would be willing to bet that that wasn't his question. He was given a list of questions that he read off the cue card.
The fact that he looked that embarrassed about the whole thing clearly says to me that he looked at that and said, "Oh God, why do I have to ask this question?"
Yep.
And you know he did, because it's just the look on his face.
I love Jerry Renner. Jerry, not Jerry. Wait, Reiner. Jeremy Reiner.
Uh-huh.
I kept wanting to see Jerry for some. Jeremy Reiner's, it's watching his expression. You need to go look it up on YouTube. Obviously, you couldn't see his expression
on this audio take, but
he's
his
like,
expression
oh,
where he's like, oh God.
He both felt bad for the guy for stepping on that landmine in the way he did, and also really bad for his co-actor who had to deal with this question for the fifth time for the day.
Right. Well, and she's tired of it.
Oh yeah, which she should be.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all, Scarlett. You should be tired of this. I mean, really. So, that's an
next time we have an interview and I get to interview, I'm going to have to ask you, did you wear underwear under your Geek Tank jersey and that?
Yes, so, there you go. That'll work. We should do that.
We should.
And they were talking about whether, you know, or somebody, one of our friends on the same thread had said something like, nobody asks whoever it is to play Spider-Man whether he wears underwear underneath his thing. And I was like, well, now I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
And he's underage, so now I've like violated some great law.
Well, Spider-Man's his costume is underwear. It's underwear.
Yeah, as I said, pretty much they're superheroes. All of their costumes are underwear. Mm-hmm.
I think they just CGI the underwear on.
Right. They're just naked.
Yep.
Now, there's an image for all the fanboys.
Yep.
Except that Scarlett Johansson's not. Okay, I'm done.
I don't get any of that. Well, we should probably go to break.
Yeah, because we have more to talk about.
We'll be
right back after this.
Hi, I'm Terry Farrell from Becker, Deep Space Nine, all kinds of fun stuff. And you're watching Geek Tank.
And we're back.
Yes, something just occurred to me over the break, too. If someone looks at your web browser history, it's going to say Scarlett Johansson's underwear in there.
That's going to be awesome.
That'll be awesome when that happens. So another thing that happened over the weekend, I saw this story, and I immediately thought of you and posted it on your Facebook feed because I know you're into space travel, both of the sci-fi version and the sci-real version.
Yes. Yeah.
The sci-unfi? Unfiction?
Would it be sci-don
fiction? Sci-faction. Sci-fi. Sci-fa. Fa. Fa.
That's not going well.
I don't think
this
don't
is
know.
Really going downhill fast.
I don't know where. Well, that's clearly why it's not a genre.
It's true.
But
I think they call it science fact.
Science fact. And man, there's like one channel now on the entire collection of cable called NASA that actually shows that.
I know.
They don't even do that on the Science Channel.
I love NASA TV.
But in any case, I saw this story, and it was related to both actual science and space travel, and also had a strong element of feminism.
Yeah.
Or I should say...
Misogyny.
A bucket of misogyny.
A bucket of misogyny.
Well, I don't know. What do they measure things with in NASA? What's a science... space measurement
in kilograms,
parsec.
It was
12 parsecs of misogyny.
It was quite a bit of misogyny.
So you actually already knew about it.
Yeah.
Well, you knew about the program. I don't know if you knew about what was the negative.
I didn't know
negatives.
About this until they posted it. But
so
yeah.
I'll let you take it away because you have all the notes.
Okay. So essentially, what we have is that there was a group. There's a group in Moscow called the Moscow Institute of Biomedical Problems. These are. I don't know if I'd call them pseudoscientists because they at least their heart's in the right place, but some of the things they do are really weird. About 5 or 6 years ago, they locked a bunch of men in a mimic of a space station for 500 days.
Did they know it was a mimic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
To see
if they would kill each other. I mean, that was the whole idea. Was
can a group of people make it to Mars without killing each other?
Right. The whole idea is to make it to Mars and back without killing each other. Okay, that's cool. Nothing wrong with that. But then they decided, we're going to be forward-thinking. And so we're going to lock 6 women into the same thing for 6 days. And my first thought was, okay, why not 500? Because that's what you did with the men, A. And B, are we really thinking that you're going to only send men in one ship and only send women in another ship? Because, really, that's so very 19th century of you. And so it was really weird. But then they interviewed these women. And the media has them...
His and her rocket ships.
His and her... Well, and one of them has pink with little bows on it.
Sure.
That's how you know.
Okay. Well, the blue one is...
And the blue one's the guy's rocket ship, and the pink one's the girl's rocket. Anyway, so the media's out there interviewing these astronauts or potential astronauts, right? And they're asking them how they intend to survive 6 days without makeup and without men.
Yep.
And I sat there and said, you're not worried about, I don't know, whether they'll be able to perform science or not.
Yeah.
You're not worried about whether they're actually going to do their jobs. You're worried about whether they're going to be without makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there going, really? Really? So it's a good thing you're forward thinking, Russia.
Yes.
Because, yeah, hey, you're only mid-1950.
I think if that was even remotely their concern, they wouldn't have even signed up in the first place.
Right. And I'm sitting here going, I would have locked them in there for 500 days. If you're going to do that to the men, do that to the women,
Well, when
too.
You do science, you need to have equal testing.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just sit there and say, we're going to lock the men in for 500 days and lock the women in for 6.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have locked men and women in for 500 days. Because, really, let's be realistic, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't really... You can sit there and say you're trying to do science, but if you're not mimicking the actual real-world environment, you're not doing science.
Well, here's the other problem, too, is people change. And so even if these are the exact same people that you choose to send on a mission to Mars, they've already gone almost 2 years of their life and have changed those 2 years. That doesn't mean the next batch of time is going to be the same as the first batch of time that you tested the results on.
Right. Well, and the truth of the matter is, if you're just trying to find broad strokes on whether people go crazy in a small can over, you know, in a tin can over 600 days, and whether you need to make larger spaceships to accommodate that, or whether if you're doing something like that, if that's your goal, it's an admirable goal.
Right.
I mean, it's what we're doing with when we launch people and put them up on the space station for 500 days.
I was going to say, wouldn't they be able to look at the data from the International Space Station?
Yeah, well, and they're trying to see whether this is... Because we've been putting people up there for a very long time on the ISS.
What's that amount of time, roughly?
I know we've gotten... I know that this last time we had somebody up there for more than a year. And I know we've been past the year mark numerous times now.
Okay.
And I think that... I'm trying to think because the Kelly twins.
Oh yeah, because that was an interesting experiment.
Yeah, one of them stayed here and one of them was up there for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So a year and a half would be 500-ish days, and that's what it's going to take to get to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a long haul, and when you get to Mars, it's not like you can go running around in open fields.
Darn it!
So you're going to be in a tin can on Mars, and then you're going to be in a tin can coming home. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be able to walk outside for like 2.5 or 3 years. So really, they need to be doing these experiments in 3-year right. chunks.
They need
that's
gamers.
Really, what happens?
They really need
they really
to send gamers because
gamers
can
never go outside anyway.
No.
And that's and we could, you know, they need to that, you know, actually gamers isn't a bad idea.
No, it's as long as you can get them away from their games long enough to do what they're supposed
to
do.
Yeah, you have to do your job too. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you
know, stop World of Warcrafting and
go do your job. Come on, seriously. And take a shower.
There, you know, if nobody showers, nobody notices.
That's true. You all kind of have a uniform funk.
Oh, yeah, gamer funk.
It's like being at a con on Sunday.
Why is there not a style of music called gamer funk?
I don't know. That's great.
We need to get onto that.
Yeah, I know. It's like our garage band name.
And
right
I may
there.
Need to change the name of my band, because originally I was thinking of the clickbaits for the name of my band.
Oh, that'd be good.
But gamer funk sounds
gamer
like a better
funk
name
sounds good.
That's probably taken. In any case, back on track.
Back on track.
Moscow-Nogeny. Moscow-Nogeny.
So this was an interesting twist to this, but it's not unheard of. In fact, that was a number of the same questions that were asked of Dr. Sally Ride and Dr. Judith Resnick and the first 7 female astronauts into NASA. They asked the same kind of questions. And you sit there and you're like, Dr. Sally Ride. First of all, we're talking about Dr. Ride.
Doctor.
I mean, she has gone through and gotten a PhD. She deserves more than what makeup are you going to wear while you're in space? She deserves more than that. And it's just like, really? Really?
Well, you hear stuff. It makes me feel like I'm in a black and white 1960s movie.
I know. It does. And you know, okay, so Dr. Ride, we dealt with her in the 80s going through this. And now, at least, like, nicely enough, the reporters have gotten over that with NASA. I don't hear those kind of questions, although I did when Eileen Collins was the commander of Columbia. She was the first female commander.
Nice.
And when that happened, there was an awful lot of women driver jokes that rattled around.
All right, I was a driving instructor for a couple of years here.
Yep.
And I need to point this out because every now and then I'd get a boy in my class who would say aren't girls bad drivers? And I'm like, look, if you ever have trouble following something to find the truth, start looking at the money. Because this is just like the same thing for murder mysteries. You got to look, is there money involved in it? Who gets the best financial discount on their insurance for driving? Is it males or is it females?
It's females.
It's females. Now, why do they not pay a higher insurance if they are so-called worse drivers? Because they're not worse drivers.
Right.
They get in less accidents. Guys get in more accidents. It costs more money. They pay a higher insurance rate. There's your fact to women not being worse drivers than men.
Well, it's like all of them. I mean, there's all the stereotypes. Like Asian drivers are apparently bad drivers, too.
Well, and they are. I'm totally kidding. That's my improv kicking in of the I had to say that. No,
same kind of thing. It's like I have a number of Asian friends who seem to drive just fine.
Just fine. Better than you.
Yeah. And it's like I don't see it. In fact, it took me by surprise because I actually had never heard of that stereotype until like maybe 10 years ago. I didn't even know that it existed.
I remember
so whenever I heard it, I actually laughed out loud because I didn't realize that they were serious. I thought they were joking. And then they were like, no, I'm serious. And I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Because that just sounded like you might as well say, you know, all insert racial group are aliens from Mars.
Well, you would think any foreigner who has not trained in driving on our roads, just like if we were to go over and start driving in Europe or in Britain or Japan, we're going to be bad drivers because we haven't learned and practiced on that. So,
and I noticed that I was more scrutinized as a foreigner in Japan for my driving than I was here, even with 18 years of experience and whatever at the time that I was there. It still was I don't know. Can you drive? Yes, I can drive.
We classically rabbit-holed away from...
we did. That's all right. I think really the point was...
American
good,
media...
Good luck
still,
on those 6 potential astronauts who are locked away for only 6 days to see... Oh, yeah, there was a final insult to that whole thing, which just totally... The director of the Institute... This is the director of the Institute who said... We are trying to be more forward about this because you understand Russia was the first country to put the first woman in space with Valentina Tereshkova. And that was the first woman in space, but then they didn't put any more women up into space ever again.
Kind of like they met their quota.
Yeah, they met their quota and then never did it again. So they're trying to catch up now because, of course, Americans didn't make it there first, but have been putting women up into space regularly for a while. So
someday they'll be we won't have to quantify we put a woman in space. It will just be we sent another astronaut in space.
And that's where NASA's getting now. Yeah. It's like we've got these astronauts.
Yeah.
We've got four astronauts and two astronauts for that. And if you look at their names, that's when you figure out that they're male or female. But NASA's getting over it.
Good.
Why? Because it doesn't really matter. They're not having retrograde menstrual problems or whatever it is that they thought was going to happen. Nothing bad happened. Nothing. And women were obviously just as competent as men. Nobody has had we've noticed that all women have failed to do their jobs in space. Nothing's bad has happened. It has totally panned out. Everything's fine. So, and NASA's kind of getting around to that. Oh, okay, we get it now.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, okay, that's cool. So.
I knew. At a young age, that one would be better astronauts because I watched Alien.
Exactly. We grew up with Ripley,
yep.
Believe it or not. Anyway, the final insult to this, and then we'll go to another break, was when the director of this thing said, we want to do this experiment because, you know, as the old saying goes, two housewives in the same room can't get along. And I was like, just look, you've got to be kidding me. So on that note, we'll be back after this.
Nice progression. And we're back.
And we're back.
So the Olympics just happened not too long ago.
Yes.
In Rio.
Yes. And that piece of music you were listening to, by the way, as just a bit of obscure trivia, is called Bugler's Dream.
Yeah. And you know we are going to get sued.
No, because we put less than 30 seconds of it in
there. Okay. Well, my bit added some.
Yeah. So now we're going to get sued, and it's all your fault.
But, like, they'll ever recognize it from that.
Yes.
So, how about the misogyny in the Olympics?
How about that misogyny
in the Olympics?
Okay, so there's a whole bunch of really interesting, bizarre things that occurred at this Olympics.
Too many for us to name, so we'll focus on a few.
We're going to focus on just a couple that really were particularly bizarre. I'm going to start with the interesting Chicago Tribune tweet about Corey Cajal-Unrein.
Or as they know her.
As Chicago Bears lineman.
Wife.
Lineman's wife.
Yes.
Because they posted, wife of Bears lineman wins bronze medal in Rio Olympics.
Right.
So and then, clearly she doesn't deserve a name.
No.
Like that. But the best retaliation was by Ziwe? Z-I-W-E. When she wrote, you misspelled Olympian Corey Cajal wrong. And I was like, see... Or you misspelled Olympian Corey Cajal.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the best retaliation.
Yeah, because that's what they should have said.
They should have said that. Because, I mean, she was like, really? I mean, like, and I'm sitting there saying the same thing. It's like, yeah, you know, you're only good as your husband.
Right.
You know,
right.
Even though you won the Olympics. And that was one of them that was really weird. It was like, and even then, the Tribune the next day said, well, we only have 140 characters, so that got a whole new wave of...
Yeah, let us show you how to use 140 characters to do
properly. Because you don't have to... Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of things. You don't have to write Rio Olympics. There's only one Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, you know, she won a bronze in the Tokyo Olympics in 1968, you know, suddenly today.
Because when she got a gold medal in time travel.
Right. Exactly. Well, you know. That would actually be pretty cool.
I'd watch that.
You think
that would
be a future thing? Like, in the future, there would be, like, gold, bronze, and silver in time travel?
There'd probably be rules.
Yeah.
About you could only travel forward, because otherwise you could...
You'd mess up the timeline.
Instead of doping, you'd be messing with the timeline.
Right. That'd be what gets you ejected out of the Olympics, is going backward in time.
And messing
with the timeline. Because you could go back and, like, set it up so that you can go back and get the gold medal. Mm-hmm.
And Russia would do it.
So that was
quite interesting. And I'm not into sports, so when they said, you know, so-and-so's linebacker, that meant nothing to me.
Right.
So
right. And their argument was, well, that's connecting it to the local the local thing and or to a local celebrity. And my thought is, isn't she now a local celebrity?
Yep, here's your chance to have a new one.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you've got a new local celebrity now.
Yeah, and then that was the bronze medal, I think you said, in trap shooting, which was interesting.
Yes, that's right, trap shooting.
So I thought it was funny because NBC and Fox News, I think it was Fox News actually, had a segment called Should Female Olympians Wear Makeup?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Well, and it's like, yeah, because that's what they should, we should be concentrating.
Yeah.
Should male Olympians wear makeup?
Should they?
I think they should. Like Joker makeup, mm-hmm. That'd be awesome.
Well, would makeup be considered altering your performance then?
True. And you know, it's one of those things. Does makeup add enough weight to change your speeds?
Or aerodynamics.
Or aerodynamics.
Put on enough. Now, yeah. if you use makeup that has caffeine mixed in with it.
Right. Then it's performance enhancing
makeup.
Sweet. So, now we've invented a whole new thing. We've got performance enhancing makeup.
Well, they already have it broken into men's and women's Olympics things. So they could just have a women's makeup application Olympic sport.
There you go.
If they want to take it that far.
Yeah. And then, see how fast you can apply mm-hmm. makeup.
And then they can
and whether
do the,
you're dressed properly or not,
right? Who wore their outfit the best?
Oh, right. So we'd have to have like a catwalk. Now, I think they call that the Miss USA contest.
Okay. Didn't Trump host one of those?
Yeah, probably.
Speaking of clothing, I was kind of miffed that if you wanted to watch any fencing or taekwondo of the Olympics, you had to really hunt it down.
Yeah.
But anytime I turned on the TV, just
or
a standard channel, or archery, as you pointed out.
That's my sport, is
anytime
archery.
Anytime I turned it on, it would either be volleyball or swimming or maybe the gymnastics. But that was the majority of the coverage, and you'd have to hunt on the smaller channels or just go look up on YouTube or pay-per-view to see the fun
and you
stuff.
Were observing that
anytime that
it was a popular sport, it was because they were scantily clad.
Just, I don't know if there's a connection. I was just noticing, hey, every time I turn it on, there's very little clothing on these people.
Yeah.
But in the sports that I want to see, they're wearing lots of padding and armor, and maybe
like a real Olympian should,
right?
Armor, because if you're running, you should wear armor.
Well, the original
Olympics, have you seen them fall?
Weren't the original Olympics just they were naked?
Yeah, that's because you fell on the track, and that's just not a good thing to fall and scrape on the track.
Could be. I've never tried it, but I'm going to take your word
for
it.
Some people rule 34. I'm sure somebody likes that.
I'm sure. But if they wore less clothing for taekwondo and fencing and archery, then they would probably get more coverage. Less coverage would be more coverage.
So it's like bulletproof nudity.
Yep.
Yeah.
The less clothes you wear, the harder it is to get hit, as we learned in kung fu films.
Yes. Not just kung fu films, but just about any anime.
Yeah.
So
you had another thing that happened that you actually got to have an interesting moment
with. Because of my mom.
Your mom-in-law.
Well, because of my mom.
Your mom in general?
The history of this starts with my
mom.
Yeah, my normal mom. Because of my mom. Thanks. I am very big on the Olympics and have been for all of my life. I've been watching the Olympics forever and ever and a day. And she was really big on the gymnastics. So I watch the gymnastics still because I'm like everything else. I've got an amazing amount of information now that I know about gymnastics and whether they're doing the... You know, whether they get a point deduction or whatever and stuff like that. And I get all outraged whenever, you know, certain ones get... Anyway, I was watching the Olympics with my stepmom.
Your stepmom.
And we were watching when the American team was absolutely dominating. And they were. We had some really good athletes in this particular one. And these were solid, solid athletes. And they you know, after a particularly good... run where they had beaten all of the other teams out there, China and Russia, and they got, you know, this is just in the trials. They're over there chatting and talking with each other, and the cameramen are over there with microphones listening to what they're saying. And they're sitting there saying, it sounds like a whole bunch of girls at a mall. And I'm like, no, actually it doesn't. They're just not talking about anything that was going on the mats. They were just talking about, hey, you know, that's kind of good. Mm-hmm. We did a good job. Da, 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 da. But they were referring to the chatter sound. They were referring to the way that they were
probably the
interacting.
His own, I'm assuming it was a he.
Yeah.
Only observation of young females has only been at the mall.
Right.
And so to him, it was they were in the wild.
Right.
Their natural element or something.
And it was like, it was so bizarre because...
You wouldn't say that about a group of teenage boys standing there talking.
Right. Right. And they weren't saying, it wasn't like they were standing around talking about, you know, their favorite musician or anything
or
like that.
Or what they're going to buy at the
or
Gap.
Or what they're going to buy at the Gap.
Hot
I mean,
topic.
Yeah. I mean, they really were just not talking about anything that was going on the mats. You know,
somebody needs to Photoshop them with, like, Slurpees in their hands and a giant pretzel from Auntie May's and make it look like they're standing in the mall.
It was so weird. And it was just, and not only was that a kind of misogynistic statement, but that was kind of sexist, too, or ageist.
I was going to say, ageist didn't too. You just redundancy
I did.
Yourself?
Misogyny and sexism. But it was ageist, too. I mean, it was like, it was treating them, because they were, because their voices are still kind of high-pitched, and because they're still chattery, because they're young, you know, they were giving the impression that they should be at a mall chattering. And they weren't saying anything that was particularly teenage girly. I mean, you know what I mean? They just weren't saying anything significant or important.
I need different commentators.
Yeah. So
seems to be the issue.
But yeah, I was watching that, and they said that, and I was like, wait a minute. Then there was a swimming issue where we had one of the girls, one of the female swimmers.
Right. And kick butt.
Yeah, she was just killing it. Because, you know, during the gymnastics, they'd switch back and forth between swimming. And she was just killing the field out there. And all they could talk about was how she wasn't very pretty.
I'm trying to pull the name out of my memory. I think it's Katie Ledecky.
Ledecky, that's right.
I'm so proud of myself for remembering that because I know crap about sports.
Well done. But that was what they were concentrating on. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. She's awesome.
Yeah. Well, she made, I remember, because I actually saw this when it was happening. I didn't watch a ton of the Olympics.
Right.
And my younger son was watching it with me. And I remember freeze framing it. Because I wanted to go back and show, because she had a huge lead on everybody.
She was killing
and,
everybody.
Yeah, my wife had walked in the room. I was like, hey, look how far ahead she was of everybody else. And when I freeze framed it to go back, she had this like awesome expression on her face because she stuck her tongue out and was smiling.
Yeah.
And I just, one of those magic moments you freeze frame.
Right.
And I was like, that needs to be a poster because it's just such an amazing victory face.
Yeah.
And that, I think I just created a new term, victory face.
Victory face.
And I won't even refer to the thing that it shouldn't be compared to, but I think I'm now going to call it victory face.
There you go. Victory
but Katie Ledecky kicked butt at that. However, instead of saying Katie Ledecky kicked butt, they said, she's the next Michael Phelps.
Right.
And
right.
It's like, whoa, and you're like, what? No, she's Katie Ledecky. And
maybe Michael Phelps is the next Katie Ledecky. I mean, really, come on.
And
I guess, really, Michael Phelps sort of did have sort of a lead on that. I did see, I mean, because he's been gold medaling for a while.
But just because he did it first?
Yeah. Doesn't necessarily mean that she needs to be compared to him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you saw this other thing that was great where they made this comparison and the...
Yeah, it was tennis. And they were talking to a British tennis player, and I don't even remember what it was, and I couldn't find it before we came here to do this, but they were interviewing him, and the interviewer said, how does it feel to be the first gold medalist, da-da-da-da-da, in some way or another? And he gets this confused look on his face, and he says, I think Serena and Venus Williams beat me to it. And it was like... Yeah, they did.
Yep.
And it was like they just glossed over. Because it must have been the first one to get a gold medal on that tennis court or something like that. You know,
it's just a reporter thorough background.
But it was still, you know, it was like, so Venus and Serena Williams, who have been dominating, kind of like Tiger Woods dominates golf, they've been dominating tennis, they don't even rate on this? I mean, it's like, it's just, and he looked thoroughly perplexed.
Yeah.
Because he was like,
I could see myself ending up in that situation not knowing anything about sports.
Yeah. But there's one thing to be uninformed.
I would never get that job, too, because I don't know anything about sports.
There's one thing to be not informed, and that's totally cool. But it seemed like the reporter was like,
I didn't count that because that was a girl.
Right. Well, actually, I think that, anyway, I'm sitting there going, wow, it's just really interesting because... It really, what it boils down to is whoever was generating her questions, this reporter's
questions. It's kind of thing in science. If a female discovers a cure for cancer, but then another guy
comes up with it,
they're like, how does it feel to be the first person to come up with a cure for cancer?
Right.
Well, but this girl did it. Well, she doesn't count as a girl.
Right. Sort of thing. It's like, and it's weird, but it's like that whole thing. It's like all of this is built into our culture, and it's going to take a lot of effort to get it out of our culture. Mm-hmm. And I never realized it until, like I said in the beginning, I didn't realize how often I would do it. And I don't consider myself in that field of, you know, that I don't consider myself there.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've definitely ran out of time on this one. I think people are at their jobs now.
Yep. People have been at their jobs for a while now and wondering why we're still rambling. So you can talk to us on Twitter at RMGeekTank and Facebook at Rocky Mountain Geek Tank, and, well, pretty much everywhere at Rocky Mountain Geek Tank, or email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
You can find us on iTunes and Google Play and YouTube. Just search for Rocky Mountain Geek Tank, and there we be. Be sure to give us stars if you like us. You can subscribe and all that fun stuff, and that way you can keep up with stuff that we do.
Yep. Special thanks to our guests today, like this Starbucks.
And Scarlett Johansson.
And Scarlett Johansson's underwear. And you can follow Scarlett Johansson and her underwear at The Real Scarlett Johansson, I think.
I have no
idea. Sounds like good. Just look up Scarlett. I mean, really, you can find Scarlett Johansson on Twitter. Anyway, that's all we've got for today. I've been Guy.
I've been embarrassed.
And this is Geek Tank.
Geek Tank is a production of Foxblade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license. Your hosts today were Guy S. Davis and C. Troy Floor. Kevin Weibler is our engineer, and our music was composed by David Coyle. If you like what you are hearing, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/Foxblade. I'm Mike Davis, reminding you that in space, no one can hear you scream. Good night.